Dual Impressions, one album, two perspectives. Listen in as TCM reviewers J.F. Arnold and Nicholas Ahern go in on POD's new album, Murdered Love.
Hey everyone, welcome to Dual Impressions. My name is James Arnold. I have Nick Ahern with me. And Nick, I don't even care what you say.
But you gotta give me a lead in though. You gotta give me a lead in.
And we're here to talk about POD's latest album. And it is called Murdered Love, is that correct? I suddenly forgot the title. Murdered Love. I'm thinking all about the individual track titles, so I'd forgotten the album. The album is called Murdered Love. It came out this week, as a matter of fact. Look at us. We're on top of things. Isn't that amazing?
That's a good thing, yes.
You don't pause too long when you say things like that. And I've been listening to POD on and off, geez, at least since Satellite. Probably since Satellite. Though I went back and listened to some of their other stuff before that. I've been kind of on and off with their music since then. I kind of followed when they had their guitarist Marcos leave the band and then come back to the band and that whole situation. But, yeah, I was kind of excited to review a new album by them. They're with a brand new record company. I mean, this is a bit of a shift. It's been 4 years since their previous release. Whereas before that, it was always 2 to 3 years, even when the band broke up. So this was kind of a big wait. And we're gonna dissect it, because that's what we do here at Dual Impressions. Are you ready, Nick?
I am.
I suspected you were. Why don't you go first? I mean, were you a POD fan before this? Are you a POD fan now? What's the deal? I don't even know.
The first time I heard, and I remember it pretty vividly, the first time I heard POD was I saw their music video Alive.
Yes, and with the semi-truck, right?
It was 2 days before 9/11 happened, I think.
Whew.
So, yeah. I've got some memories of that, but got rushed home after that and bought the CD, and I think I played that CD through until it broke. I loved that album.
Yeah, my copy was the same.
Ever since. Off and on. A couple tracks here and there I really liked, but nothing like I kept going, I guess.
Okay, so we've been out of the POD fandom, so to speak, for like 10 years now.
Yeah.
That said, they've got a new album.
They do,
What did you think of it?
It's a step towards what they used to be really good at, kind of that rap rock with a bit of reggae thrown in.
Okay.
And it's kind of a nice step back. Because their last couple albums were, I'm not gonna lie, I really didn't like them. I really did not like them. That's the thing about, to their credit, each album had at least two or three amazing songs, and the rest I was just indifferent to.
Right.
But this one, it stuck with me a lot more the more I listened to it, which doesn't always happen with music. So,
right.
Yeah, it was a nice attempted return to, I hate to use that word because it sounds really dismissive, but the glory days, so to speak. You know, I was like, oh yeah, I remember POD. You know, then so
right.
Yeah, that's kind of where it came from, I guess.
Okay, this was their, they returned to using Howard Benson as their producer, I believe.
And yeah, he's
the one who did Satellite. So
yeah.
They've got him back. They've got Marcos has now been back with the band for a while, who was the guitarist for Satellite. And so they've got a lot of the same elements connecting up to turn into like what they were when they put out Satellite, although 10 years older. I think you're right. I think this is an album that it comes closer to Satellite than anything they've done. And I don't mean that they're stuck in the past. I mean that they're finding their greatness again. Because they did seem to fall off a lot of people's radar since Satellite. So, that said, I really liked it. There were three or four tracks that really stood out to me. So I wanted to mention those briefly. I will admit this straight out. I'm a sucker for rock bands when they slow down and sing a ballad. And I know that that's not true of everybody. We talked about this in the 1000 Foot Crutch review, when I was just like, oh, these slow songs, I love them. And Beautiful fits in with that for me. I found it was a really heavy track, talking about cutting and suicide, and still managing to come across understanding while still offering hope and redemption. And I was glad to hear that. As far as heavier tracks go, I like Higher. I really like Higher. And I actually like On Fire. Those are both solid tracks.
I dug that one. The one that stuck out to me was Murdered Love. I liked at the beginning. Higher. I liked Lost in Forever. I think was my favorite one.
Also a solid track.
Yeah, really solid track. Let's see, West Coast Rock Steady. I kind of dug. I liked it.
Yeah, so that
Beautiful was good.
Yeah, West Coast Rock Steady is a fun track. I enjoyed it a lot. But on the print review that went up for this album that Calvin Moore, our boss, wrote, he said that he didn't think that was a bad track, but he felt that it was really out of place on this album. After listening to the album, I think I disagree with him. I actually like how it fits in there. But I was wondering if you wanted to weigh in and split the difference between us.
I think I might go with you, James.
Yes.
The first time I listened to it, it didn't even cross my mind that it might be out of the album. Knowing Calvin, I haven't honestly read the review, so he could give some awesome reasons why, and I'll
change
my mind as soon as I read it. But just going with my gut, Calvin, you're wrong.
Yeah, well, you're right on that one, Nate. Well, let's. So this album is being released to multiple different markets, and it's actually being released differently. There's one that's being released overseas that has two tracks that we haven't even heard. They weren't on the one that we got. There's one being released to the Christian outlets, family Christian stores, and that sort of thing, that doesn't have one of the tracks we have. And we have the mainstream US release. So I want to talk about that last track that was cut off the Christian version, the quote-unquote Christian version of this album, because it's going to cause some controversy. I've already seen people blogging about it this week.
Matthew Paul Turner was
talking about it. Ever since we first heard this track, I think we knew it was coming. So let's talk about it for a few minutes, and then I think we'll be starting to run out of time anyway. So the track is called I Am. The chorus has a censored F word, which is bound to cause some controversy. But I think I'm willing to say this, I actually like the song. And I couldn't say that when I first listened to it.
Yeah, I didn't know what to think when I first heard it, because I wasn't actually aware of the F word. Calvin actually, you know, was like, hey, I think it might have been you and Calvin, were, hey, dude, the F word, I'm like, what, faith? Did they say faith in this? I mean, that's horrible, I guess. But no, it's really odd, like, oh, there's F words, there's cursing. I'm like, well, I ran in a high school youth group, used to be very much kind of on POD. Because, you know, in interviews, like, with Rolling Stone, they curse. I mean, not, like, excessively. Not, like, F this, F that. But, right. They curse, and they're raw dudes, you know? Just by listening to their music, you can tell they're just very raw with how they talk. And, I was not just expecting that type of just raw, just going for the gut, almost Augustine type of, like, just song.
Right.
And just, yeah, it's a total, Well, I guess my biggest disappointment with it was I wanted more songs like that. You know, it's like, wow, they're really going into the gutter with people. Like, they're really going for that. Wow, why is this at the end? Why couldn't this be like track one? You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's where I'm falling on that one.
Yeah. So the reason that this is gonna, aside from just like swearing, which is gonna cause controversy in Christian circles. You've also got the sheer content of this song. The track is explicitly talking about feelings about, you know, salvation and Christ. So
Yes. The
verses are talking about just depravity. So the first verse is, I am the murdered, the pervert, sick to the core. I am the unclean, dope fiend. I am the whore. And it just keeps going on from there. You've got, like, words that a lot of Christians are simply not going to be using in everyday life, and maybe that's okay. But this is very, like, here's the problems of the world throughout all three verses. And then the chorus runs, are you the one that's come to set me free? Because if you knew who I am, would you really want to die for me? So we're getting some really good Christian message. When I first heard this, I was like, wow, this is a great song. And then we've got, they say you are the cursed man, the one who hangs from the tree, very obviously a Jesus allusion. I know this is the one and only Son of God, but tell me, who the censored is he? And there's power there, right? Like, I was fully into this song. I was like, wow, they're really going for the heart of it. And then suddenly the F word comes out, censored, of course, because they don't have it uncensored on any release. And I was taken aback. I didn't know what to do. That said, that's a violent reaction to the offering of salvation. And it's real. People have that response. People don't know what to do with salvation offered. And I really think there's power there. I think what the question comes down to is it wise to use language that you know is going to ostracize and cut off a large part of your market?
It depends on where they want to go from there.
Right.
If they were like, it's kind of like Lecrae. Lecrae doesn't curse in church clothes, but he's not as restrained in church clothes, right? And so with this, he's branching out to the mainstream, so to speak. And POD's already been in the mainstream.
Yeah, no, they've had tons of mainstream success.
Yeah, but POD also here is, I don't think POD really cares what conservative. When I say conservative, that's a flexible term. Of course. What more conservative Christians think, because they're not making music for them, and they've said it as much as in interviews. They're making good music for people to enjoy. And if someone actually is moved or comes to Christ, that's what they're really after. They're not. It sounds like they're not really into pumping up the Jesus egos of the minority Christian group and making them feel better. It's like, we love you, but we don't care about you. You know, we're actually going out to the world. You're already saved. You're fine, so to speak. You know, and it's kind of like Lecrae. It's like, why am I staying here when there's people suffering out here? You know.
Yeah.
And well, so for me, it's a great missional tool, and I fully support them. The F word, we could go back and forth on that, but I don't see it as a problem for me personally. Listening to it and certainly letting people know, hey, it's got this, but it's a powerful song. It's like Schindler's List. Yeah, there's violence in it, but it's a powerful movie. So I get postmodern on this. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Because I think when I initially listened to this song, I was shocked. Because it wasn't the POD I knew in my mind. And it took me a while to let this song grow on me. But I went to pick up a friend of mine from the airport the other day. He's another Talbot student. And I was talking a little bit about this and how I needed to review this album. And I was like, let me play you this song. Let me know what you think about it. Because he knew a little bit about POD, but not a ton. And so we listened to it. And he goes, yeah, that's going to piss some Christians off, but it's the gospel. And I thought that was really a really interesting statement. I thought it was a really powerful one. So I do think it's going to cause some division. I think people are gonna hate it. I don't think it's as bad as a lot of people are going to think. I think that's where I want to come down on it. I've got my little bit of hesitancy, but at the end of the day, I think the message there is strong.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. In fact, I would actually probably go further and say the people that wouldn't listen to POD because of tattoos and long hair and kind of that attitude probably won't be listening to the track anyway. And so, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, why would anyone be bothered by this? Or even example, like a great way to tie this up in a cultural sense, you've heard about, actually, I'll just explain. The pastor in South Florida who got on Lifeway's case about having the blind side sold in Christian stores because it had cursing in it, got Lifeway to basically pull the DVD of the blind side off of shelves in Christian bookstores. And you kind of look at that and go, why, even better. We want to be taken seriously in Hollywood and in anything. We want to be shown, we're human, we're good people, we don't want to be shown as a caricature, And yet, when we come out and say, they said a bad word while presenting the gospel, and we patronize POD or, all these different people, and you kind of go, is this almost antithetical to the gospel message itself? Mm. And it's not about, you know, compromising, being all things to all people in a pluralistic sense, of course. But, you know, it's like we go to these people when we isolate ourselves, or when we, for lack of better, when we bubble, when we hop into the Christian bubble and reject anything that doesn't fit with our little, our world, you know, then we forget that we're dealing with people that have no reason to come out of their own bubble to talk to us, you know. And so it's, I don't know, I'm dissatisfied with the way that's many Christians would react to this. And I don't know, I am not pleased, sir. I am not pleased.
Yeah, I think the question's going to come down to whether or not this is a hill we're willing to die on. And I don't think it should be. So, that said, we're starting to run out of time. I'm glad we got to talk about the song a little bit. I will be interviewing Sunny, the singer of this band. And so keep an eye on thechristianmanifesto.com for that interview. We're going to talk about this song specifically. I'm really looking forward to it. But let's close up this album, shall we?
Yes, sir. Go for it. Since I went first, you can go.
All right, I will go first. POD comes back after a four-year time period of not producing music, and they come out with Murdered Love. I think it's their best album since Satellite, but it doesn't quite hit where they were. It feels like they're sort of getting their stride back from where they've been for the last few years. They take a few interesting risks, not even including the track I Am throughout it. Murdered Love is a really interesting vocal style that we didn't really get a chance to talk about. That doesn't really work for me at the end of the day, but at least some people like it, including Nick. There's a lot of good highlights, and of course, there's the controversy of the track I Am. It might be worth listening to just so you can know what's going on. At least check out that track. That said, I came out liking this album a lot more than I thought I would, and a lot more than I did on first listen. So I'm glad that I've been listening to it for a few weeks now. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. Which is not what I was expecting after my first listen. So give this one a little bit of time to grow on you. All right, you're up. Closing thoughts.
All right, let's see. I almost just tempted to copy and paste James and say, that's really about it. I would only nuance that. The track I Am, even though it's aggressive and it's not something that fits into a lot of people's... just the way we think, or they think, I guess. It's good to be challenged. And it's better to be challenged by Christians who love Jesus and who follow the gospel to the best of their ability than to be challenged by someone who doesn't know what they're talking about, or someone who's out to get you, so to speak. And so the tracks that James listed are great. The album is solid. It's an attempted return to form with Satellite, and it's largely successful, though not perfect. The tracks I Am is the standout, and to get the track, I think I'm going to give this 3.5 out of 5.
All right, so well, they come out with
3.75. That's not
bad. 3.75. Have you gotten a chance to listen to one Calvin and I did last week?
No, I actually haven't.
Oh, I will never doubt your math skills again, Nick. He thought the difference between 3.5 and, or 3 and 2 was 3.5 or something like that. It was pretty bad.
You know what's the worst part? I barely passed Matthew Weathers' class of Bible. I got a D minus in Nature of Math, and I'm the smart one here on this. That really sucks.
Nature of Math is like, oh, and this is how you take apples and oranges and combine them into more fruit or something like that. That class was silly. All right, it was way more fun than that. I don't mean to diss Matthew Weathers. The dude was great. It was a fun class.
Much love to Matthew Weathers. You passed me when you sent out. Thank you, Matthew.
Much love to Calvin in spite of his math skills, and much love to POD for putting out a pretty solid album. Thank you for listening to Dual Impressions. My name is James. I've got Nick with me. I'm not going to give him anything to say.
And I hate you for it.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye.